We have a full piece of Gemara before the next sugya starts.
Yes.
The Gemara just says, Amar Avada Barava, Bet Emeret, I'm sorry, the Mitzvah, Malach Kali Akerem, Shmoy, Nogu Moy Shas HaKaisha. Just Kepircha, the Kali Akerem also had never had a point where it was kosher. Amar Avada Barava, Bet Emeret. Kali Akerem, Ikron Ne'asarim, Hare Vahaytlon Shas HaKaisha, Kaidem HaShrasha. It's considered that it did have a Shas HaKaisha. Kaidem HaShrasha. Massive. First thing I want to say, that I had a Shasa Kaisher, it's a Matar Shmaya. Matar Asus Nak is, if someone is Mavir a flower pot that has a hole in the bottom, the Kerem, and what's going in the pot, growing in the flower pot is the Tvor, Im Haisif Masayim Asur. When the Asus is Yenek, it's true nutrients from the ground of the Kerem. If it grew 1-200 more, it's Asur. Haisif in my Haisif Mas. Otherwise, the Shavish is not Osir. Amarava Trey Kreitzi, Sivan Zerav, Sivan Hamlaya. Okay, then. There are two demons. Zuame Kara Vash Rasha. Zuaba Haisitim Mahasipa. So the Gemara here has this concept that something grows another 200 in Isser, that it's Osir, and if it grows less than 200, it's Mutter, and that's a klal in general for the Surin that apply when things grow. Taisus Malachamik the Pesach Shekein Onish Karis. He says Mishah and Yiskal Lai Matu Lamen Yechiyach. The Malachamik Mishah and Yiskal Shekein Lai Hayu Lam Shasa Kaisha Lachim. He says that these other Yisurim Shah and Yiskal would be similar to Arma Shalai Hayu Lam Shasa Kaisha Lachim. It never had, why didn't a Shara Niskal never had a Shasa Kaisha? Before it was a Shara Niskal. Didn't have a Shasa Kaisha. What? Because it was alive and it's missing Shechiva. So Shara Niskal never had a Shasa Kaisha because it was alive. Can you ever have a live animal that doesn't need Shechiva? What do you think? Huh?
The Bepakua.
That's an animal that's born after you shech the mother. You shech the mother, a pregnant cow, and after the shechita, an animal, a live animal is removed, a live baby is removed from the womb. So that animal doesn't need shechita because it shechted already. It was shechted as part of the mother. That's called ben pakua. But ben pakua doesn't need shechita. So the tzlach asks that you can have a shara niskal that had a shasa kasha. Ben pakua would be a case of a shara niskal that had a shasa kasha. Why? He says that still it would be us at the event of Kuwak. We don't need a live animal. We don't have a sexual al hadam. You don't need to eat an animal that's still alive. He says, therefore, event of Kuwak also doesn't have a shanta kashi. So you don't have to shech it, you can shoot it. But not necessarily through the shechita.
Only cow or any animal.
In theory, you could make a farm of animals that don't need shechita. If you get a few bepakuas together and they mate and have offspring and you make a whole farm of those animals, you can have meat that doesn't need shechita. It's not worth the effort, but it's possible to do.
Shechita is there's no, one reason for shechita is necessarily for the fact that it's like no Sarantai or something like that.
That's right. For all the tyrants, because it's the child of a shechted animal. It came from a piece of, when it was present in its mother's womb, it was also a shechted animal. It came out, it was also a right. The next sugya is an important sugya of a Chomis Rapi, and rather than to go into it, I'd like to just talk a little more about the sugya we started yesterday. As much yesterday's sugya is a break of sugya, because Lesson Tam of Kam is a big sugya, but In the amount of time that we have left today, let's talk a little about Reish and Tamos Gaon. Okay, we met yesterday at Chavis Dakshi's site that once something becomes Ein Reish Geir, it remains Leilam Vayed Hefer. And it never becomes, the problem never gets changed back into Isser, even the Yemeshviach. That was the site of the Chavis Dakshi. At the end of Shia, I mentioned the Kasha of the Gris Meisha. Rav Meisha says that there's a very simple case of a double pogrom that becomes Isser. And that would be a steer to the Chavisat. Chavisat says you could have a double pogrom that becomes Isser. And time is Rav Meisha that you do have it. You have it routinely when you have a pot that wasn't used in 24 hours, which is a pogrom. A pot that's in a binyama that wasn't used in 24 hours is a pogrom. And if it's Bermaya into food, the food is mutter. And yet, we have a halacha of Dabba Charis, which is that if you cook a sharp food or you cut a sharp food with a keli that's not a banyaymai, the bliya that comes out of the keli goes into the onion or whatever the Dabba Charis is, that Dabba Charis becomes Isser. So you see if you have a Dabba problem that goes from head, becomes Isser. So that's the spirit to the whole yisad of the Chavis Das. That Heter can't become Isser again. Heter, that Pogum can't turn into Isser. That's the kasha that we had yesterday. I know it confused some people who never heard of Dabba Charis, but it's a basic rule in Hilchos Pas Mechalav, in Hilchos Teruv, that a Dabba Charis has different dinim. We have to try to answer a much less in a strong kasha. Trying to know an answer to be able to answer that. Now, in order to answer it, I think you have to know, again, a basic thing in Yeridaya, that there are two rules of Dabba Charis. There are two things where sharp foods are different than anything else. Okay, one is the case I just mentioned to you, that the kula of Eina Ben Yaimai does not apply to a Dabba Charis. So yes, it's not a Ben Yaimai, and you cut a Dabba Charis or cook a Dabba Charis, it becomes also as if it were a Ben Yaimai. If there's a second, what's the second rule? There's a rule of not by not. There's a rule of not by not. If you cook vegetables in a fleshing a pot, the vegetables remain parous. And but that does not apply to the Dabba Charis. If you have a Dabba Charis that you cook or that you cut with a fleshig knife, that onion becomes mamish fleshig. So that if someone cuts an onion with a milchka knife and puts the onions into chutney, so that would be trash. Even if it's cut. Cutting it doesn't matter if it's out of it. So that if somebody cuts an onion with a milk knife and puts the onions into chutney, that chutney is basmal chala. Because the rule of not by not means a part of the thing that got a bliya from the cadence is called a not by not. And it doesn't answer, that rule does not apply to a Dabba Charis. So there are two kulas that don't apply to a Dabba Charis. The kula of Eina Ben Yaimai and the kula of not by not. They're both a similar idea. The fact they're both weak tastes. Ein Binyan is a weak taste, and a Nafarnan is a weak taste. And a Dabba Charis is Mechayu Lelishvach. Things generally taste better with salt or onions or sharp things. They improve taste of things. So we could clear a Chakira. Now, the truth is, it's very hard for us to measure all these things. These things we have the Kabbalah, and we stick with them. It's very hard for me to measure. If you cut an onion with a fleshy knife, the knife it tastes fleshy. Very difficult to assess that. But we have such a Kabbalah that it works this way. The question is, how does it work? Now listen carefully. Is the thought that when a bliya comes into a sharp food, the bliya changes, it gets improved? The bliya itself improves in a sharp food? Or is it no, the bliya is the same bliya. Just in a sharp food it tastes different. The bliya is the same thing. Just when you have sharp food with it, it tastes the mixture of the taste gives a taste. It makes you sense the taste. You see what I'm saying? You see the two ways. The question is, does the blue egg prove when it goes into a davar charis? I'll give you a simple example of where this is nagei halacha. A very common shy where people ask, should know, to be a rav, there are like probably 100 yediyas you can know, and 90% of the shayvas fit into those 100 yediyas, you know. There are very few new shayvas that a rav gets there. You know, maybe Yehuda has two chalakim of svarim, new shayvas that he was asked, right? He gets thousands of shayvas, but they're all the same ones. Right? There's one common shayvas people ask. The shayvas is the following. I cut an onion with a fleshiger knife, and then I put it into my milchika blender. Did I make the blender flesh? Or to my parable blender? Did I make the blender flesh? That's the question that's asked. Okay, got it? I cut an onion, a gabachorit. But I was going to put an onion into a blender. They don't put in a whole onion. They cut it into pieces and they put it into the onion, into the blender. To the question, or to the whatever, food processor, or whatever that is. So the question is that most people, many people, keep a food processor parable. Shaz, is it parable? If you cut an onion with a fleshiger knife, and then you put it into, and then you put it into the food processor, and the food processor chops up the onion, does that make the food processor fleshiger? Because there's no rule of not by not by onion, so the onion is fleshiger. So you put it into the food processor, and now the food processor became fleshiger. Yeah.
I suppose in the double part that goes out the knife into something like it's bolea, it's bolea.
Is only something which does not harm the healing. The
onion
is not going to
take back wherever
it was
put into the knife. So meaning that when you cut the knife,
when you cut the onion with the knife, the actual onion doesn't take anything from the knife. No, it does. You're talking about the onion. The onion is fleshy.
The onion
is fleshy? Yes. If you cut an onion with a fleshy knife, and you mix it with sour cream, or if you cut a milk and mix it with meat, the onion is the thing that becomes fleshy melted. That's the rule of avocado. No, no, it doesn't change the knife. It changes the onion. The onion becomes. Okay?
So, chayre
should be fleshed. The mother of Rome says that in the onion, that the foot processor or the second blade becomes fleshed. When it cuts the onion. Exactly. Cutting is the equivalent of hot. Well, the cutting with the sharp. So you put a sharp onion on a table, well, you have to go from the onion to the table.
No,
because it's only the cutting.
Yeah, it's opened up, like the
food
inside.
But if you cut onion in here and you put it on a table, you just wipe the table. You put it on a plate and you wipe the plate. It's only when you either make it hot or cut it that all these issues come.
The
sharp
on the
blades
of the
blades of the food. So the Chavis Das in Simen Tzadik Vav Oizvav Paskins Lekula, he brings in Eben Oizer. He has actually two reasons. It's looking for our discussion is Eben Oizer. And Eben Oizer says, now listen very carefully, he says, what was Fleishik here? What was Fleishik? The original knife. He says when the Fleishik of Leah of the knife went into the onion, it didn't change. It's still a weak Leah. It's just that in an onion it's thicker. When it went from the onion into the blade of the food processor, it's still the same weak Leah it was in the knife. It didn't become stronger. It's not, the pshat is not that a davar charis changes the Leah. If a davar charis would improve the Leah, then the Magen Avraham would be right. Then when it goes into the second blade, it's an approved Leah. It's going into the food processor blade. It's awesome. But the other Eisner says it's not true. It's not shock that the taste gets improved. The taste stays the same. It's still a weak taste. It's just either davar charis, it's awesome. Once it goes out of the davar charis into the food processor, into something else, then it becomes mutter again. Because it's a weak taste. It's in the lumbus. So it's an up and out, right? So an up and out that goes into the blade is not austere. It's like you cut an apple with a fleshiger knife and you put it in.
But
you see, The Adonai remains
Pleasure.
Hey, it was pleasure before you cut in the full craft. You cut it with pleasure tonight. What? I'm not sure. I'm talking about the full craft itself, okay? There might be other factors to that. But you understand what's going on here. It's such a geschmack of achleikus. The Magen Avraham learns that when the bliya goes into the onion, it gets improved. It changes. When you cut an onion with a pleasure tonight, the bliya is an approved bliya in the onion. So now it could offer something else. It could go into a second blade, into a food processor, and it could offer it. The Chavis Da'at says, no, that's not what happens. The bliya is the same bliya. Just in an onion, it's nicker. If it goes out of the onion back into something else, it's not going to offer that. It's just an afanatic, which is a Talmud of Kolosh. It doesn't offer. It's just a weak Tom. They're arguing when the flesh of the tam goes into the onion.
They're also arguing whether after one day the tam of flesh becomes pug or not. If it's pug, one day it becomes nigger or not, it's full pug.
Well, what is the touch of pug?
Yeah.
Is that what it means? I'll talk to you about it in a second. But this is these are the two ways to learn Dabba Chara. The Chavisah says the yikir is that the blue doesn't change. Yes? It's true, it goes with the Dabba Chara, but the Meister, the blade doesn't have the level of charisma that the onion has. Right? If a knife had a Dabba Chara in it, then you cut if you had a knife that had a weak taste of this, or then you cut an onion, it doesn't make the knife now, the previous bleed get approved. It's enough of a chiddush to say that an onion itself, the Dabba Chara approves the taste. But to say that the bleed to the onion can improve the taste, but something else, that would
not be. Really,
what do you mean?
The
onion is only
number one.
You put it to the.
And you cut the onion.
Right.
Now we say the onion is pleasure.
Right.
First of all, God is putting it through the food process, what do you think?
You can't make the food process a pleasure.
Why?
Because the bliya is only improved in the Dabba Chara. The bliya is improved when it's in the Dabba Chara. Once it comes out of the Dabba Chara, it's the same old bliya. It's not a different bliya. When you put salt, let's say you have a piece of a bland, you have a potato kernel, right? It doesn't have spices, bland. You put salt on it, now it tastes good. If you wipe with the salt, you'll have the same bland potato kernel underneath, right? Right? So it's the same thing. He says that a bliya and an onion, the bliya is just as bland as it was before. It's just as bland as it was before it didn't get to the bliya.
But
you're
saying that onion is
fleshy, so
you're cutting a piece of meat now.
So when you cut it, so
when the
food process... No, it's not a piece of meat. The onion is only fleshy because the onion taste makes the tam habotzer have some type of a knife. Who's saying? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, my God. That approves it. Yeah. Machinari.
Why
don't we
put
the onion because you see, an onion that travels with bliya, the bliya of an onion is not a Dabba Chara, it's only the onion itself. If you have onion as one ingredient in a batter, it's not called a Dabba Chara just because it has onion in it too. The finished Dabba Chara is only the onion itself, it's not on anything less than the onion. At any rate, based on this Chavis Da'at, we can now go back. There are two types of pogrom. One type of pogrom is when something becomes spoiled. Something becomes spoiled and rotten, it's pogrom. There's a second type of pogrom. If somebody takes chocolate milk and puts it into the filter fish, so that's pogrom. It gives it bad taste, because chocolate doesn't taste good with the filter fish. So what does that mean? That means that the chocolate is pogrom, it's spoiled? No, it's not spoiled. There's another kind of pogrom. There's a kind of pogrom where it just doesn't give it a good taste, where something just doesn't give a good taste to something else. And that's why it's mutter. It's heter because it doesn't give a good taste into the second thing. And that's also a problem in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch gives examples. It doesn't say shulchan look at the gefilte fish, but it says, let's say, honey and, is there any honey and flour, or, there's some examples in Shulchan Aruch of things that don't give a good taste. Things that don't give a good taste, they're itzer. They are itzer. But they don't answer. It's a different type of problem. It's a problem because of the relationship between the two things. Because it just doesn't give a good taste. If it doesn't give it a taste, then it doesn't answer. Getting back to a keli that's ein ben yaymai. If you have a keli that's ein ben yaymai, so we can learn two ways. You can learn that the taste that's inside is rot. It's a bad taste. Maybe it's so. I don't think it's so. Because cooks are not marked on an ein ben yaymai. They're not going to want to cook in it because it gives a bad taste to the food.
That's why you don't have beer like in different types of caskets, because you're worried it's going to get some of the taste.
It could be wood absorbs. You think that our kavish maybe, but generally a plant, we say it has a binyana is problem. I don't think it means any bad. It just means that it doesn't give a good taste into food. It's not something which gives a good taste. That doesn't mean that it's not a heter. Just like the chocolate syrup is not a heter just because it tastes bad in fish. The same thing of li and a pot, the chavisdas will be mighty, that's not nasa hezer. It's not that that's spoiled, it's not that it's rotten. It just doesn't give a good taste to foods. If you have a food into which it does give a good taste, like a double charet, it's a chinami. It'll answer. But it's not a hezer that's chayzer l'isura. It's something that just doesn't give a good taste. When it goes into a double charet, there it does give a good taste. In a double charet, it tastes good. So it's not shmei when Moshe's kasha on the chavis dam, because when Moshe's kasha will be shmei on the chavis dam if you learn like the Magen Avraham. If you learn that ainah ben yaymai, Magen Avraham says about napanah. But if you learn that the way a davar charef works is that the davar charef improves the thing that comes into it, it improves the etzem bliya, then your Moshe has a good kasha. You improved the bliya. You took a bliya that was hefter and you improved it into it. But the Chavadas himself doesn't hold that that's what happens by a Dabachar. By a Dabachar doesn't improve anything. The Bliya stays the way it was. It just doesn't taste good in many mixtures, and in this mixture it tastes good. In that case, the Chavadas will be neither that Heter could become Isser. Because it was never really Heter. When it was the end of the Yaima, it was still Isser, just it doesn't give a good taste in anything. A bliya and a pat doesn't give good taste into anything. Like I said, chocolate into fish, or other things that don't give a good taste.
First day,
it doesn't give a good taste. You have subsequent days, it doesn't. Because the taste becomes weaker. It becomes a weak taste. And I'll go point him, if you would understand the idea of how a bliya works, the Chavadas' way, the Ramesh is cash on Chavadas, it's not true. That's what it's about. Okay, now, as a PS, I should add that there's a base mayor. I was once walking with the farm, and a younger man, I believe from Lakewood, came over, and he asked the Shai. Shaiva was a cut an onion with a Norfolk knife, and they put the onion into chutney, and wanted to know what to do with the chutney. And the milk and knife forgot to use it 24 hours, but they cut an onion with it, and they put the onion into chutney. So why would you say that then? What the need? Anybody else? No, they hit the onion itself. It didn't go into another case. Yeah, they cut it on the milk and ice and they put it into chutney. And, the chutney was mixed, and he couldn't pull out all the pieces of onion. It was just chopped up and put in. So, Paul asked me, what do you say? So I said, the base mayor. He said, yeah, the base mayor. The guy came home and he said, what's the base mayor? So there's a base mayor which is printed on the page in Shulchan Aruch, who says, very important rule, and again it's something good to have in your fingertips, Reish Meir said there are two chumis of Dabur Charis. One is that an Ein Binyan is like a Binyan, right? And one is that we don't say the Kuvah of Nafar Nas. So what the Reish Meir says is the two chumis together, you don't have to be machmer, both together. In other words, we're machmer either one. But the two together without machmer. Which means, if you have both kulis, the knife was Ein Ben Yaimai. And it's something which, if it wasn't a Dabur Charis, it would be a Nafar Nas. If it wasn't an onion, if it had been an apple that was cut, it would be a Nafar Nas. And it wouldn't answer anything. So the two chumis together, Trechumi Vagadi, were not Nachmer. That's the stock of the Beis Meir. It's an important fact to know. And fun held that way. Later, I received a letter from the Chabur was living the other day in Lakewood, who argued that the halacha is not like the Beis Meir. They brought from, I don't remember the Maamakarnas exactly, from the Tshuva, the two Tshuva Svarim, different places that did not pass on the Beis Meir. However, Pam held strong that the halacha is like the Beis Meir. As a matter of fact, it's something I asked him was in the hospital the last time if he still felt he was a primo gardener. That was not much from like the Beis Meir. If he still felt that the halacha was like the Beis Meir because it became an issue. He said yes, and I asked him if he did it for this and this reason. I had a certain reason I thought. He said no. He just felt that it was like the Beis Meir anyway. I still get to know why, but anyway, the Pan held strongly that that's the halacha, that if these two chumis together, we're not mashmah together. So, it's the diyad. We don't mix an onion cut with a fenugreek knife into meat. It's all the diyad. Right? Even anything. What? It's not the halacha. Not by that, it's always only
the second part of the halacha.
The reason to be machmir is on the onion is first of all Zayin Ben Yaimai. It's like a Ben Yaimai by Dabachar. Then, another thing, if this onion had not been a Dabachar, had he cut an apple with even a Ben Yaimai knife, that will become a Nafar Nas. Anything polished, which gets a bliya from a keli, is called Nafar Nas. Nun Tes stands for nice and tam. The word Naf stands for nice and tam. Nice and tam by nice and tam. So Nafar Nas. Anything charis that gets a blue from a keli is called a nafar nas. It doesn't have the thing. Someone cooks rice in the middle of a kapat and mixes it with chutney, it doesn't become awesome. That rice is a nafar nas. So it's just that by a dabur charis we don't say the kula of nafar nas. So that rule, that by a dabur charis we don't say the kula of nafar nas, that rule, that by a dabur charis we don't say nafar nas, that does not apply if it's treif from Rivada. Okay, then if it's a Dabur Charis and an Ein Ben Yaimai, the two things.
Why
don't we do it? Because chatchila, even if it was rice, we don't know chatchila, if you mix rice, it's going to look fat in deflation. Chatchila, we're mad, right? Because we're both kapat, we keep milk in deflation, fat in deflation. This is all a good idea. It's certainly a kitchen of chatchila. Cooking a flesh meal, you don't cook
things.
It's hard for us to deal with the Sfaris because it's not based on Sfaris. If you ask me if an onion got taste from a knife, I would be skeptical. Now, maybe you call a chef in, a chef can taste things that other people can't taste. But I'd be very skeptical about it. But we have rules in the Yerodaya that we stick with, and this is one of the rules that nobody argues about. So we work with the rule, but now it's hard to say Svaris. It's a little more involved, the whole issue is a little more involved, but this is the bottom line is the way I spoke about it. The rules are not right. Not are more complicated, the rules are not far more complicated, but for Shira and Mesef Bispsof, and this is enough, I think. Let's restart the next. So you have Beis Meir at the bottom of the page. I think it's in the Kadikos in the Yerodaya. The bottom is on the page. Okay, let's begin the next Gemara, and at least I'll post to you the Kasha, which we're going to deal with on Sunday. Next sugya is a very, very interesting sugya. The sugya of Yehar Valyabar is always interesting because it has many, many cases. But let's try to see at least the Gemara's case. The Gemara is the Kasha. Amar Rabbi Yaakov. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yaakov. The Gemara says a din rabbi. B'chol Misrakim. Chutz mei Asay Hashem. You're allowed to heal yourself with anything. What does that mean? What type of chayim are we talking about? So we're talking about a chayim that's yesh b'sakon of Hashem. So, b'chol Misrakim, you're allowed to heal yourself with everything. Chutz mei Asay Hashem. Why not with Asay Hashem? I'm just simple pshat. We're talking that there's sakara nefesh, a person's sick. In order to be healed, he needs an apple. And the apple is growing on a tree of an asher. If you have a person whose life is more important than his money, such a person whose money is more important to him than his life. That's a funny thing. The money is more important than their life. They jump out the window. That's because they feel their life is not worth anything. You have a person who says, if someone says, either give me $1 million or I'll shoot you. See, if somebody says, you know, the money is more important to me than my life. So shoot me. But if he gets shot, he doesn't have his money either.
Some people go so crazy
over their
car with $1 million.
Yeah, but that's because they think they won't die. Right? That's because they think they're not going to die. But if somebody has a choice between dying and money, if he dies, he doesn't have his money either. No.
His wife doesn't worth anything without the money.
I don't know. I know, it seems. So what the Gemara is saying, there's some people, if you tell them your money, your life, they'll give up their money. Not because their life is more important than the money, but because if they die, they'll lose both. Then they won't have their money, they won't have their life. So therefore, they'd rather... If you go over to anybody and you say, either I'll shoot you or give me your money. So there's some people who protect their money because they think if they fight with their assailant, they'll be able to save their money and their life. But nobody is going to say, take my life and let me have my money. What's he going to do with his money if he's dead? No? So what it means here is that you have people, their money is more important than their life. It's true that if they die, they won't have their money, so therefore they'd rather not die. But not because their life is more important than their money. You know what I'm saying? Again, everybody would rather live with no money than die with money. Tomorrow doesn't mean that there are some people who would rather die than give up their money. That makes no sense, because when he dies, he has neither his money nor his nefesh. Right? That's not what the Gemara means. Tomorrow doesn't mean you have a person who would rather give up his life than his money. It means a person who has his life and his money. There are some people to whom the money has more chashivus than their life. So it means like this. If the Torah would only say b'chol na'ashecha, it would tell me that you have to give up your life in order not to be avid avay dezara. But let's say someone comes to you and he says, either back to the avay dezara, I'll take all your money. I would think, here for him, his money is more important than his life. If someone gives up his life, I loses his money too.
But
that is
his life. He
makes a problem. So he's saying if someone gives his life, he's going to lose money also. So what's trying to make money?
Well,
Right. If someone gives his life, he doesn't have his money either. So if he has to give up his life, which means a person dies without that money. So what's the pshat? What does it mean? Yesh l'cha adam shemayne chavam adam shemayne. So we have to talk about that. But the simple pshat in the Brisa of Eliezer is being I don't know. We'll have to talk about how this gets to our Shaila. Why does that have to say B'chol Meidecha? Why isn't that enough B'chol Ma'ashecha? Are there people? So a person who has money, maybe since he'll be losing his money, he doesn't have to give his life. Okay, this is not the kasha that I wanted to ask, but it's a problem. By the way, I don't understand the Gemara. I was just saying there are people. Could be a person who says, kill me and don't take away my money?
If an old man is 95
years old,
he's wasting anyhow,
take away
all
money,
his kid's not
going to
have anything.
Okay. That doesn't mean his
money's
coming, his kid
has no father's going to have anything. There's some people who can't live without money. So they look at it and it's all the life, they figure it's all the money's gone, the life is gone. And they look at it. So just kill me. If you're going to take my money, you might as well kill me.
So then let's say always take a call. To such a person, I would think, B'chol Ma'asher, I have to give up my mind. Now, just say living without money is worse than dying. It's the same, and again, I know from B'chol Ma'asher. To say that people to whom take away their money is worse than dying. Wow. Okay, I don't think there's such people, but. Okay, the question here is the issue. So what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying, so that's why you're not allowed to be misrapa about the Hashem. So the question is, if somebody is misrapa from an Asay Hashem, how is that being Oyed Rabbi Zazar? How is that? How does that mean that you're being Oyed Rabbi Zazar because you eat an apple off a Hashem tree? So Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rashi and the Rav all try to deal with it. And this begins, this is also a Sugi Yerodaya. This is Simin Kufnun Hei. Kufnun Sir Kufnun Hei Sefala. Kufnun Hei Sefala. Bezin Gimel, we talked about the other day, he talked about getting healed when you're not a Chodesh Yishvah Sekha. The Dilem Yehoi Val Yavar is the beginning of Simin Kufnun Hei and Simin Kufnun Zayin, I believe also. And this is the Sugi of Yerodaya, which we're going to touch on now. What issur is there to an avodah zarah? Is it dafka bowing to an avodah zarah? Or is it even yehoi v'ayavah to have a mouth of an avodah zarah? Somebody, in order to be saved, you would have to stand in the shade of an avodah zarah. Just about them. Would that to hide behind an avodah zarah? That's something which is awesome. So that question, that's called the word is avizrayu to avodah zarah. Avizrayu means secondary mode of avodah zarah. You have a Bizrayah of a Gezara, you have a Bizrayah of Gilei Arayas, like they're kissing an Arab. That's a Bizrayah of Gilei Arayas. Bia is Gilei Arayas. Chibuk and Nishuk, hugging and kissing. That's a Bizrayah of Gilei Arayas. Any Megiyah, Shesh Mechiba, is considered a Bizrayah of Gilei Arayas. And the question is, it seems from this Gemara, we'll see from Machlokes Rishonim, that Abizrayu of Avodah Zarah is also Yehoi V'ayavah. And then subsequently Abizrayu of Gilei Arayas would be Yehoi V'ayavah. And then if you could think up Abizrayu of Shefichat Damim, that's a trick. So to figure out the case of Abizrayu of Shefichat Damim, how do you have Abizrayu of Shefichat Damim? It could be embarrassing. Shlomo Zalman brings from Ben Yain, I think, that embarrassing someone could be Abizrayu. But anyway, this is the sugi that we're going to touch on at the beginning of next week, very Gishmak. So you have to make sure you bring the Gemara Rashi type of